How lonely sits the city that was full of people. How like a widow is she, who was great among the nations. The princess among the princes has become a slave. And so begins the poetry of a man whose nation was destroyed by its enemies. The streets of the capital city are so empty that wild animals walk among the homes instead of the bustling of the feet of its own residents. The Book of Lamentations is often hidden in obscurity among the writings of what we often call the major prophets. The commonly used name in Hebrew for this book translates as how in English, since this is the first word used in the majority of its chapters. These statements of how, the beginning of several of these chapters here, are not phrased as rhetorical questions, but as expressions of anguish over the failings of a people, and the anguish over the justified removal of blessings from God. This book of poems contains only 5 chapters. Each chapter stands as its own poem, the first 4 of which are acrostic poems. Each line begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, although the only chapter in complete alphabetic sequence is chapter 1. The other chapters have slight variations on this basic format. Chapter 3 standing out in the fact that each letter gets 3 lines instead of only 1. Each line of the sets of 3 begin with a particular letter of the alphabet. The very last poem, although it contains 22 verses as if it should have the same acrostic format, stands alone as a prayer for the restoration of a people after they have been rejected because of their ongoing sins. Now, the use of the acrostic layout may have held the purpose of making the poetry more easily memorized by those in captivity. We know this is written at a time when God's people were taken into captivity. Those people would later read these words and cry out to God in their own personal moments of anguish. Now, as we read through the lines of this poetry, we can easily see that the words of the poet, most likely Jeremiah, end as they begin, with anguish and tears, feelings of being brought low. But in the middle chapter, we reach the peak of a crescendo that rose up from the bottom and will decrescendo back down on the other side, like climbing a very steep mountain as we read, with great moments of realization and turning back to God in times when everything seems the dimmest and darkest. Now let's look at a few of these high points of realization contained in the middle of the book. Turn with me to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. Well, where we will begin reading here. Lamentations chapter 3. Here the writer says, I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely he has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. Jeremiah here recalls the agony of his own difficulties and in the same breath expresses the anguish and lament of the entire nation of Israel, which had been given into captivity by their God. These are bitter words of the acceptance of this justified punishment. Continuing on here in verse 15, it says, He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drink wormwood. Verse 16, He has also broken my teeth with gravel. That sounds painful. And covered me with ashes. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. And I said, My strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Verse 19, Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remember and sinks within me. Verse 20, My soul still remembers and sinks within me. Now suddenly, in the middle of this low point, as it would seem, the lament changes as we approach that very middle section, the middle point of the poem, you know, the end of the crescendo. Verse 21, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. God never leaves his people, nor the entire human race, without hope. From beginning to end, God's word is a book of hope, just as our God is a God of hope. Verse 22, let's continue on here with this poetry. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So this is praise for God. The Lord is my portion, says my soul in verse 24. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. The poet expresses the need to humbly wait for God and to realize that it is for his purposes that trials come upon us, for our own personal growth. We are given a lesson here, even in not rebuking those who bring anguish into our own lives. In verse 30, we read that. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him and be full of reproach. This reminds me of the very words of our Redeemer when he said, but I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. It's difficult to keep silent in our periods of anguish or when we see injustices happening, but we know that there are times when we silently wait for our God, knowing full well that, as it says in verse 31, the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. That's his character. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, as it says in verse 33. This verse reminds us that the only reason God brings punishment upon people is because at that moment, it is the only way to get their attention, so they might turn back to him. Verse 40, as we continue on, let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven. I call on your name, O Lord, verse 55, from the lowest pit. You have heard my voice. Do not hide your ear from my sighing, from my cry for help. You drew near on the day I called on you and said, do not fear. These same words should also be on our minds and on our lips as we cry out to our God and know that he will hear us and that we should not fear. The book closes in chapter 5, it closes this way, Lamentations chapter 5, verse 19, you, O Lord, remain forever, and your throne from generation to generation. Why do you forget us forever and forsake us for so long a time? You, that anguish in the poet's voice. Turn us back to you, O Lord, and we will be restored. Renew our days as of old. Verse 22, unless you have utterly rejected us and are very angry with us. There's a high point followed by this little bit of questioning, some further anguish because they're still in captivity. And we know that the word of God doesn't stop there. We don't have to question that. We don't have to question God in any of our anguish. We have further instructions to examine ourselves given in other places in Scripture. Well, let's close with a passage in 2 Corinthians. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, sorry, chapter 13, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the last chapter in this book. And we'll start reading in verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. It seems to end almost like that book of Lamentations, where we have that poetry of anguish, of lament. But it continues on in verse 6, but I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. And there we have hope. Even through our examinations of self, we have this hope that God leaves us with.